I like the way the lady comes in there. This conference is being recorded. It kind of puts the pressure on you, but that doesn't bother me. Hi, folks. I'm Martin Zender, and this guy on the other line is, I think it's Dan Sheridan. Is that you, Dan?
I've been mistaken for Mel Gibson and Gerard Butler, but yes, it is me, Dan Sheridan.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Who's that guy that's the James Bond now? What's that guy's name, the James Bond, the blonde guy?
I don't know. He's not American, so I don't care. Just kidding for all you in the Netherlands.
Oh, we have a lot of friends in the Netherlands.
I know.
And I'm confused about the Netherlands. There's Dutch, there's Holland, and there's the Netherlands. Is it all the same place? Does a Dutch person live in Holland, or is it a Hollander who lives in Holland? And who the heck lives in the Netherlands? Does everybody in the Netherlands necessarily a Dutchman, or is it that you can be a Dutchman but not necessarily a Hollander? I'm confused.
We'll have to, that'll be the question that we will ask for answers from via email. So please submit all your responses to Martin Zender. I'd appreciate it. And being from Illinois, everything, Chicago is the capital of the world and everything else is just a suburb because, you know, the mayor of Chicago is the emperor of the whole world.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we could say something about our president, but we won't because we already been through all that. I'm still trying to fix the sound here from my end. I noticed my voice was a little overwhelming in the last couple recordings, so I'm trying to, you know.
That's only because you have a bigger measure of the spirit than I do.
Well, I wasn't going to say it, but, you know, God amplifies my voice more no matter what I do. So I'm trying to hold the microphone a little farther away now, so let us know how it is, folks. This is a work in progress. Okay, well, Dan, we were in 1 Corinthians 15. We started in verse 35 talking about resurrection, and I think it's good to just review that real quick and then break new ground.
Yeah, and I want to start by saying that especially in this passage, in 1 Corinthians 15, accuracy is indispensable, and this is why I don't think there's a version that truly emphasizes the truth more than the concordant version in this chapter. I was recently in a debate with somebody where it was a King James onlyist arguing about terminology when it comes to the state of the dead, and if you're a King James only person, you'll never get the truth. It's that simple.
Yep.
And in 1 Corinthians 15, we have terms here in Greek that are brought out in the concordant version regarding the word soul and soil, and that the modern English versions really cover up a lot of truth when it comes to this truth. And so I think it's important as we study this that you look at the concordant version, or if you can, look in the marginal notes of the Companion Bible, which will help you a lot as well. But this is important. This requires accuracy of translation to get this topic right.
Which word are you thinking of in particular here in this passage? The word
well,
soul?
Well, as we go through this, we're going to see, especially if you look in the concordant version, you have this term, soulish body, spiritual body. Soulish, soilish. There's a distinction here in the Greek between something that is soulish, dominated by the senses, and something that's soilish, the human coming from the ground, you know, the soil of the ground. Remember we talked in the beginning of this topic, was it last Monday, that mankind is soil.
Right.
And in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul gathers up all the truth of the Hebrew Scriptures and combines it with his evangel right here in 1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah, it's a huge chapter for that. And verse 47 is the one you have in mind there. The first human was out of the earth, soilish. And God knows what the King James has here. Well, maybe you know too, Dan. Maybe God and you both know. What does the King James have there? 1 Corinthians 15:47.
Well, I just so happen to have a King James right here.
That is so handy.
The best part about a King James version is if you don't have margins, you're in trouble because you can put a lot of notes in the margin to fix some of these problems. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47 in the King James, it reads this way. The first man is of the earth, earthy.
Earthy. Well, at least they didn't translate it soulish.
Yeah, they didn't translate. But you know what? If you didn't have preconceived ideas, earthy is okay. But however, I think a much more accurate way of saying it is soilish to be consistent.
Yeah, that's true. An earthy person could just be down to earth. It almost sounds like a figure of speech. Soilish.
Exactly. Exactly.
That.
I'm pretty sure in 1611 that earthy meant that was the thought. But I think when you say soil, when somebody it really nails it down. There is no getting around the intent of Paul when he wrote this. When you translate it, so the first man is soilish. He's off the ground.
This is a great new insult. I have a new insult in my arsenal now. You are stop being so soilish.
Stop being soiled myself.
It's actually more scriptural than calling somebody a dirtbag.
It is.
You
I like that.
Dirt
dirtbag.
You call him a dirtbag, and it's actually true. We're bags full of dirt, but this is the scriptural term, you know, refined seven times in a furnace. So anyway, let's back up to verse 35, start reading there. The whole situation here is the Corinthians, of course, don't even believe that there's a resurrection of the dead, and Paul says, au contraire. And in verse 35, someone will be protesting, how are the dead being roused? Now, with what body are they coming? Imprudent one, what you are sowing is not being vivified if it should not be dying. Verse 37, and what you are not sowing the body which shall come to be, but a naked kernel, perchance of wheat or some of the rest. Let's stop there because I don't think we got into the naked kernel. Where we're talking about having to sow and reap. This body has to die. And Dan, you know, farmers can put a seed into the ground and they have no clue. There's not a farmer that ever lived that has any clue how that seed becomes a stalk of corn. All they know is it's got to go in the dirt, it's got to have rain, it's got to have sunshine, it's got to have oxygen. Other than that, they don't know how it happens. Nobody's been able to duplicate it. Nobody's been able to raise the dead. Only God can do it. I just think that we just take so much for granted. Yeah, the corn comes up. Yeah, the grass grows. How does it happen? How do you put this little tiny, tiny seed in the ground and it turns into a tree, or corn, or an azalea bush? That, my friend, is a miracle, and resurrection's no less of one.
No, I love how he uses such a homey illustration here. You know, I've said this before: city life is a false life because you have so many things that are artificial. You know, and that's what when you get out into the farm or you get out into the country, you really see God do stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And he uses this illustration of a naked kernel, and you pointed out, and he's using this as an illustration of what the resurrection is like. Yeah. Our bodies right now represent that naked kernel. It's not the body that shall be. It's something that has to go through the process of a breakdown before it reaches its ultimate goal.
Yeah, and that's exactly what a seed does. It breaks down and it dies. And again, it's such a parable. I mean, God is a genius. He put this into our lives. I mean, he could have delivered us corn, you know, right on the stalk. But instead, we go through this crazy process when you think about it, putting this tiny seed into the ground. And yet, it's screaming resurrection. Every time you drive past a cornfield or go past a flower, see grass, this is screaming resurrection to you. How can anybody deny that there's resurrection when they see all the parables that God has put on this planet? Unless you're in the city, of course. You won't find any parables of resurrection in Chicago, I'm guessing.
No,
it's
hard to find them when you're surrounded by concrete and buildings.
Yeah, right. So he talks about planting a naked kernel, perchance of wheat, or some of the rest. Yet God is giving it a body as according as He wills. And
I love that phrase there.
Its own body. Yeah, to each of the seeds, its own body.
According as He wills, He's the one who made that original body.
Yeah. We can go one of two ways here. You know, we can talk about the naked kernel, or we can talk about how there are different seeds, there are different kinds of bodies in the resurrection. That's a fascinating subject.
I don't want to talk about the naked kernel because I immediately thought of Colonel Klink and Hogan's Heroes, and I'd rather not.
Shoot. That's terrible. I know nothing. Yeah, love that.
You're not trying to
anyway,
do. Yeah.
I'm trying.
For any of you who remember the Zender talks, we don't want to hear any more attempts of you trying to imitate like Rocky and things like that, please.
And no, I do pretty good on Rocky. You know, Adrian. All right, I try. Let's go to 2 Corinthians.
So God is giving
5.
It a body according as he wills, and to each of the seeds its own body. And where were you going? What is your thoughts on this naked kernel?
My thought is that we don't desire this state. We don't desire to be in the death state. And many people confuse some particular words of Paul that says he desires to be away from the body, okay? And he talks about being dressed and not being found naked in 2 Corinthians 5:4. And I think that ties in directly with this naked kernel business, if you want to go there.
Yeah, and I think we should, because, and again, we're not going to cover all 1 Corinthians 15 today, but I think this is an important verse, because 2 Corinthians 5 is one of the most misquoted verses, I think, in the history of the New Testament, the Greek scriptures. if it's not the most, it's one of the most, but I think we should turn to 2 Corinthians 5.
Yeah, because Paul's very first statement there in 2 Corinthians 5:1 is, "For we are aware that if our terrestrial tabernacle house should be demolished, we have a building of God." So that's a parallel passage here, because Paul's talking about planting the seed. He's talking about our terrestrial tabernacle being demolished.
Yeah, those aren't pretty words, demolished.
No, nobody likes that. As we say, death is not to be desired in the Christian religion or anywhere, but they glorify it. We're not doing that here.
No.
You want me to read? I'll just read the first four verses of 2 Corinthians 5.
Yeah,
follow
why don't we start there? Go ahead.
"For we are aware that if our terrestrial tabernacle house should be demolished, we have a building of God, a house not made by hands, aeonian, in the heavens. For in this also we are groaning." Ain't that the truth? "Longing to be dressed in our habitation which is out of heaven, if so be that, being dressed also, we shall not be found naked. For we also who are in the tabernacle are groaning, being burdened, on which we are not wanting to be stripped, but to be dressed, that the mortal may be swallowed up by life."
Those are wonderful words there.
Yeah, go ahead. Illuminate and elucidate.
Well, let's look at this again from a couple of perspectives. One, in the way it's been quoted, misquoted, and keep it in its context. Paul says, "We are aware that if our terrestrial tabernacle house should be demolished," what is he referring to there? Ask that question.
Our bodies.
And it's referring to our bodies. You can't get around that, right? Because most people say there are three options here. There's in this body, there is the death state, and then there is the resurrection. Now, that's true. But what most people think is, in all of them, you're alive, which is not true. He says, "We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, aeonian, in the heavens." It's referring to our resurrection body. "For in this also we are groaning." That's a true statement if there ever was one. Groaning.
Yes.
Every time you watch the news, you groan. I mean, you just turn on the TV, all you do is groan. And you groan with all the trials and things we have to go through that are associated with this life of vanity, as Ecclesiastes says. And what are we, why, we're in this, also we're groaning, longing to be dressed in our habitation which is out of heaven. What is Paul longing for here? Is he longing for death? What is he longing for here?
Longing to be dressed. He's longing for that naked dressed state. Yes,
"in our habitation which is out of heaven, if so be that being dressed also we shall not be found naked." Paul is saying here, I have no desire for the death state. If the death state was this glorious thing where you're all of a sudden in the presence of your Savior in your vaporistic form, why would you say something like this? Can you imagine a believer saying that, I don't long to be with Christ?
Yeah, and Paul says it again in verse 4. He says, "We are not wanting to be stripped, but to be dressed." We don't want to be stripped. And in Scripture, the stripped state or the naked kernel state always refers to death. And again, as you say, Dan, if this is a desirable thing, then why does Paul say twice in this passage, we are not wanting it? We don't want it. We don't want to be found naked. Nobody eats the corn when it's shoved in the ground, you know. Nobody wants
right.
it then. It's unwanted. That's like saying, yeah, we want the corn in that state. No, you don't. You have to wait for resurrection. Even nature teaches you this, folks. You have to wait for resurrection.
Now, think about this statement, Martin. We talked about this the other day. Remember we mentioned the Old Testament, anyone who was defiled by touching a dead body had to be kicked out of the camp. Remember that?
Yeah.
Why is that? Because God hates death. Death defiles. And to teach that death is the gate to the Savior is like teaching that defilement is welcome into God's home.
Yeah, and if somebody isn't maybe sophisticated enough to get that illustration, then a kid, a child can understand a seed going into the ground and waiting for it to raise up again. These are simple pictures given to it. These are Sunday school pictures, and yet it just illustrates for you the subtle genius of the adversary, and that he has taken these simple things and corrupted them so that simple isn't simple anymore, and you have to go to a seminary to get this kind of simplicity beaten out of you. Dan,
yeah,
we're out of time.
Right.
We're out of time already.
Wow.
But we're gonna pick up with this tomorrow, and we're going to talk about this is the bad side of the equation, folks. To be
let me give a teaser for tomorrow.
Give a teaser.
To be absent from the body is to not be present with the Lord, contrary to popular opinion.
All right. On that note, we're going to leave you hanging, and we hope you'll join us here tomorrow. Thanks for listening.